Good day, everyone. Am I unmuted? I am. Good day, and welcome to the SSR2 Leadership Call on the 30th of March, 2020. Today's meeting is being recorded. Attending the call today, we do have Russ, Eric, Denise, and Lauren from ICANN.org. We have Jennifer, Steve, Brenda, and technical writer Heather is on the call. And I'd like to remind you to please state your name before speaking for the record. And Russ, I'll turn the call over to you. Thanks.
Thank you. The first thing we need to talk about is how we're going to approach the public comments. We put out the sheet and asked people to put their initials on the comments that they want to tackle. We asked them to do that by Wednesday. I know that we are also expecting comments from ICANN.org and comments from GAC that we have not gotten yet. So the table's going to get bigger. It's already at over 200 messages or 200 comments. So the question, I guess, is what we should do. Should we even start on this until we get those, or what do the,
so this
the
is
reason
Heather?
I'm asking that is we want, when we get comments about the same material from more than one source, we want to handle them consistently. Go ahead.
Right. So this is Heather. No one has actually put their initials next to anything so far. I know this comes as a great shock. We received ICANN.org's comments on Friday. I have not, there's 19 pages. I have not yet uploaded those into the form, the feedback form. So I will work on that today so that we can have that ready by Wednesday.
Okay.
And I don't know about the GAC.
Well, they had originally asked for until next week. So, and I wrote back to the GAC chair and told them that the reason we were not extending the comment period all the way to their requested time was because we were going to have a face-to-face, which was going to be at the end of this week. Obviously, that's not happening either, but I hope they're on a timeline to give us their comments by next week. Does anyone know?
This is Jennifer. Go ahead, Lauren.
No, Jennifer, go ahead. You probably have something more substantial.
Well, probably not. I mean, I do know that they're working on it, and they were aiming for that the month timeline, but that's the latest that I have.
Okay. So this is Lauren. I haven't put my name in, partly for the reason that I know it wasn't complete. So I'm wondering if it might make sense to wait for that and maybe look at it in terms of which comments are very similar so that, you know, we can kind of check, okay, group A and B said something about this that should be assigned to the same person so that, you know what I mean. So I'm wondering if it makes sense to just kind of push this back until we have everything.
I tend to lean that way too, but I wonder who's going to do the racking and stacking to figure out which ones are similar, other than by section number.
Well, why would you do it any other way than by section number?
Well, you could have two completely unrelated comments on the same section. But it's still
yes.
The way I could think of to rack it and stack it.
Yeah, this is Heather. I can't think of any better way to do it. The only place that gets, of course, a little tricky are those comments that some submitters did not break it out by section. They sometimes just had very, very general comments, or they included four or five different sections in one comment itself, things like that.
Yeah, notice that.
First did that. They combined comments against recommendations 10, 11, 13, and then just had sort of a general, please take these points into consideration.
Yeah. I'm just going to have to deal with that.
Yep.
Yeah. So I would say this is Lauren, that actually supports the approach of, in my opinion at least, to wait for staff to be fully in, hopefully GAC will come in, and then we first have to kind of review and then distribute. Because I have noticed that some stuff multiple parties go on about, so I think it makes sense to kind of wait this one out if you want.
Okay, if that's our plan, then on April Fool's Day, we get to continue doing the document comments from the team, just like we did last week.
Fun.
Russ, this is Jennifer. I have a question, if I may.
Sure.
Thanks. I'm not really clear on the approach to the public comments. So I just wondered if you could provide that for me. So is the intention for each team member to be assigned to a public comment and then propose how to address the public comment, or is the team going to approach as a whole all of the public comments on the document? I'm not clear on the process.
The hope is that we will have people who do the work on a section or two and bring back to the team a summary of the issues and the proposed resolution, and then the team either buys into it or doesn't. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That makes sense, and that's helpful. Thank you. And I wonder if it might be worthwhile just repeating that on Wednesday in case other people aren't clear on the steps.
I need to do that. Let's put on the agenda as well as we're going to hold off. Heather, does it make sense do the sorting now, even though the GAC comments aren't in?
Well, the GAC comments and the ICANN org comments aren't in, and the ICANN org
They're not, but you're about to fix that.
Yes. if this spreadsheet works as intended, we can resort it anytime we want to.
But do it while people are putting initials in, right?
Because they're so active about putting initials in.
I understand. I'm asking if we could do that before Wednesday.
We can absolutely do that before Wednesday.
Okay.
This is Denise. Can you guys hear me okay?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So it wasn't initially clear to me when I looked at the table with comments assigned to how this was going to work with multiple constituencies commenting about, in some cases, the same section. Are we now talking about changing the table or creating a new table that is organized by section, and then so section two has comments from three different entities, and then that section's assigned to a team member?
That's what she, that's what Heather just suggested, is we could sort the current table so that it's by section number.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Instead of by commenter, that way you can grab a chunk of the document to...
That makes a lot more sense to me rather than having people sign up for individual comments within individual submissions. Yeah, I think that works a lot better.
The only reason it's by source now is because that's how I...
It comes in, sure. Yeah, makes sense.
But I can slice and dice this pretty much any way you like. I can leave things on a single master sheet that we just reorganize within that sheet. I can create separate sheets for separate sections, so someone can just look at their section if they want to. Whatever you would think would garner the most engagement.
Yeah, it would help, I think, to have two tables. One just for reference that is organized by the commenter, by the submission, and then a working table that is organized by sections and who commented on each section, and then which team members are working on that set of comments for that section, I think is how I'm thinking about it operationally.
Okay.
Is there, and this I have a question for staff, is there a staff person that's working on draft comment summaries and responses? How is there a staff role in the public comment closure?
So the staff role, we do the staff report of public comment summary. As you know, each of those reports comes out for every single public comment that IconOrg does. And so that is done 2 weeks. I think the deadline for that is the 4th or 5th of April. So staff will be working on that. In terms of work for the review team, staff is not working on that at the moment. That's Heather is doing that, and we can help where needed.
So what's the dead, thanks Jennifer, what's the deadline for posting a quote-unquote analysis of the comments?
So as I said, it's 2 weeks, I think it's the 3rd or 4th of April, 2 weeks after the close of the public comment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so who from staff is doing that?
We have an SSR2 staff support team.
Okay, and so the support team will do a draft and then send it to us, and then it'll be finalized, or what's the process?
No, it's a staff report, so it just gets published to IconOrg. The review team isn't involved in that summary.
Okay. I think part of my concern is that in completely other public comment topics, we found the staff report to be spotty at times and at times also fairly high level and not as useful, I think, as it could be. So, sorry, can you guys hear me? I'm having trouble with my audio.
Sometimes. we heard you. Okay. We heard you right up until the you have some concerns about ICANN's the report that ICANN staff put out about the comments.
I just encourage the staff to do due diligence in capturing the substance of all of the comments at a level that's useful both for the team and for the public. Thanks.
Thanks, Denise.
Okay, is there anything else on that topic? All right, I sent a note to the GAC chair asking if she thinks she's going to make it by the end of the week. So at least we'll have better data on the call a week from today about when we can expect those odds. So in the meantime, for all the work on the sheet or the spreadsheet, 19 pages more comments to add, and then start. So thank you, and I continue as we did last week on Wednesday, plus the explanation of how we're tackling the questions. Is there any other business we need to do today?
Russ, this is Jennifer. We had on the agenda for today to discuss the timeline and approach to work in the coming months.
Yeah, I wish I had any belief that I could create a plan here. But I think that the focus is going to be getting the public comments, and that I have no idea when we can get together as a face-to-face. I think that, I know the announcements that were made here mean that there's really no travel by end, but in April, May seems optimistic, June seems the earliest, and that's when the next eye canding is. Anyway, so on when we're going to actually see each other, we have to wait for a statement by ICANN whether there's going to be a next meeting. Does anyone see it differently?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is Lauren. I think essentially, as sad as it is, we can essentially take our timeline, add whatever time we will be in this situation, so probably until June, and maybe then deduct 3 weeks or something like that from that number to account for our work on calls. Unfortunately, that's essentially what we have to do. I see little possibility for us to meet before July. And essentially, we have to push back until the end of the year. Jennifer or Steve or whoever else might have an idea. How are other review teams handling this? Are they also essentially using this approach to kind of say, okay, we're pushing back and wait to see what's happening? I just want to like get an understanding of what the rest of the ICANN is doing.
Sure. Well, this is Jennifer. I can speak for ATRT3, who are were in the same situation as SSR2, and that they were supposed to meet in wherever we just were supposed to meet, Cancun. And so they have just decided to continue their work online in the absence of having a face-to-face meeting. So they're just having two calls every week for 2 hours until the review finishes, essentially.
Hey, this is Denise, Russ and Lauren and Eric. I think that we should consider, and it would be my preference, to create a plan to complete this report using video conference and remote collaboration. I am not supportive of delaying the report until we can get together face to face. I can attest to the fact in my day job, we have managed to continue with all of our projects and all of our responsibilities. I think this review team can rise to the occasion as well and finish their work using all of our remote tools. Thanks.
So I think to do that, we would have to increase the length of the calls. I mean, we're going through about 3 recommendations an hour.
Yeah, and I think people are going to have to start actually using the email list and do work on the list as well. And I think, unfortunately, I've got to hop off soon for another call, but I'd like to brainstorm with you 3 about whether there's some things we can do differently to sort of set expectations and hold people accountable for some work streams and acknowledge that given these very unusual times, we'll need to, as a team, rally and use these tools a lot more robustly to meet our agreed upon deadlines and finish this report virtually. That's my position. I would, you know, really appreciate hearing what your thoughts are.
This is Eric.
I'm
fully supportive of that, but I also make a sort of an additional observation that I worry about extending the call time, one, personally, because it's not feasible for me, but also because I worry a lot about throwing good time after bad. I think in the sense that it's taking us so long to do it this way doesn't say we have to project it out. I think, you know, at that point, what we've already observed is the landscape literally changes underneath our feet as we're going through this report, where we're like, now that COVID-19's happened, there's a new BRD, a new business continuity disaster recovery plan story we could tell. And it would be completely apropos. And it completely answers Russ's question different than we would have 6 months ago. And it's sort of like, but that's definitely a bug, definitely not a feature. I mean, it's sort of like, I really think, if we can find a way to say those that want to hear and have a discussion about a particular item should form a quorum and do it asynchronous to the main plenary call and then report back when you're done and setting a flag saying we are going to be done on this date. I mean, we have a draft report. We could shift the exact same report we have now. It would obviously not be proper because we've gotten comments on it. But, you know, the idea that we're not sure when this thing can end is a function of us not being more directive, I would say. I would propose that we take the time to get the feedback, we normalize it against the recommendations. Here's all the comments on recommendation 1. Here are all the comments on recommendation 2, which, as we covered earlier in this call, some of the meta recommendations have a very loose fit to that, but we should do something, I don't know what. And then we can say, we're going to find who's going to incorporate these. We have a set of writers who might get overloaded if no one else ponies up. But if somebody doesn't pony up, I don't think it's fair anymore to hold the review team up saying everyone should have a chance to look at recommendation number N, but the only way we can give them that opportunity is to walk through them serially. I think we should move on from that because I don't think it's working.
I think that was my point about 3 recommendations. And we've got to come up with a scheme that allows us to do pre-reading and only address issues.
Ah, sorry. Okay. Didn't mean to retread the same path then. Sorry, I didn't grok it. But I think that's the right thing to do. And I think earlier we talked about something similar to this. I think in my recollection was there was a sense of, but what if somebody wants to comment and they just don't know to have read it or something like that. I can't remember. And I think at this point, if that was a fair concern before, I think we've moved on from there, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, my opinion, this is Lauren, is essentially if we're going for a remote, we really have to completely rethink the approach. I'm wondering if the full plenary call is the best space to do this. What I'm thinking is maybe we should just do the comments by page or whatever else, and then get 3 or 4 volunteers per chunk. These volunteers meet separately, then you can also have like a bit of a better call experience, I think, for these people, and they edit it and they bring it back to Quorum, something like that. So when I said we just have to add the months, I was essentially thinking about if we continue as we're doing now. So I think we need a completely different plan if we're trying to do this. I'm happy to send around some stuff we're doing in my work contacts. Maybe Denise has something as well, as she was mentioning. And then we can just use this to establish a new system.
All right. We look forward to reading that.
Russ, aren't you part of like a task force or something that does a lot of drafting in parallel? Heather, you have some experience with seeing people work on mailing lists to produce documents or something. There's something we can borrow.
It works in other cultures. It has not taken root in this review team.
This is Heather. Absolutely agree on that one. So far, the only thing I've observed, and granted, I've got a much smaller data set than the rest of you. The only thing I've observed that's actually worked at any level of efficiency is something we can't do, and that's get people in a room. Otherwise, they're not paying attention. They're not engaging on the calls. They're not engaging on the email list, which unfortunately makes it very difficult when we say on a call, okay, we don't have enough people. We're going to propose it to the list and see if we get feedback there, because in a sense, that just acts as a delay because we're not getting feedback in either place. In another world, if I'm faced with something like that and I'm not necessarily proposing it for here, that's when executive decisions come into play, saying, okay, you've had the opportunity, now this is how it's going to be. If you aren't going to support the end result, then you need to say so, because we, you know, just remind people, your name is going on this document. If we get to the end of this process and you suddenly say you don't agree with it, then we have a problem. But otherwise, it just make executive decisions and keep moving.
All right, I'm going to make a half joke, but the remote teaching stuff, I think there'll be a lot of interesting research that comes out of the softer side of academia as a result of this, what works collaboratively online in different communities now that everyone has to do it. One comment is that, like, you know, with remote testing, what we're wrestling with at my university is, you know, how to avoid cheating. And the reason I bring that up is there's a browser that's called Respondus, and it locks you in, and it detects when you're not looking at the screen, mostly just see if someone's looking aside and can't use the internet to cheat on questions and stuff, and maybe it doesn't work very well. But it would be funny to say people need to join the conference call with video turned on, and we'll use something like Respondus to see if you're paying attention or not, because, you know, I would be guessing that maybe some of our participants have us on mute and maybe aren't even in the room sometimes, which could be part of the reason we don't stay on the same page. But it would be nice to basically establish some, I don't know if this is feasible, being pretty serious, if we establish some guardrails around this is how we're going to do it going forward, and, you know, outline what will and won't happen on the mail list, outline that the calls are just for sort of whatever exception management that needs to happen. Like, if there really is a disagreement that can't be resolved amongst the subgroup, like if there's, like, for example, if we made a subgroup for every recommendation and people were welcome to join if they wanted to, but if you didn't join, you didn't get to be on the discussion process, which means that if you write an exception at the end, if you write an objection, a minority report, it'll list whether you even signed up to do any of the writing. And then all of your discussions have been logged on the email. And if you really come to loggerheads, you get on a Zoom, because that's what we're using for the team, and you turn your camera on and you have a discussion at the end of which our chair gets to decide which way to go.
Wow, I'm not sure I want the adjudication, but I do want to get Ben.
It's just a straw man, and we don't have to even discuss it again if it doesn't seem like it fits. So just trying to be productive.
No, I get it. We got to do something, and I do like the sub-team thing.
Yeah, so this is Lauren again. I think the sub-teams are definitely the only way. because just as to like whole call management, if you have three people on a call, you can just speak. It's much simpler in terms of like having a discussion. My other problem that I see is I'm just looking at the SSR2 draft report. It's full of comments. If we had, again, like two or three people actually go through this, we could do a lot of edits. My issue is like I don't mind sitting down for 3 hours and actually do some of it, but then the question is, how would this come back to the team? I think this is another issue because, you know, let's say I do it, I don't want to seem like I'm trying to dictate the way, but to address these comments, proper edits and changes are necessary. So this is really the key thing where I think, again, we need to establish rules so that, for example, it says, okay, Lauren is editing these 4 pages now, and he's making changes because he has to, and this is how you can respond to it, right? And then Eric does the next 4 pages, and this is how you respond to that. Because I'm a bit, you know, it sounds stupid, but I don't want to call it afraid, but it's like I don't want to seem like I'm just making changes. Right, but I think this is the only way we can do it if people just do changes and not wait.
So what about people proposing text instead of editing the document directly? You know, if somebody holds the pen, someone's the editor, then other people are welcome to propose changes, and that gets discussed before it automatically gets incorporated. I, for one, think that would have been very helpful for a while on the team. I get the appeal of the Google Docs, so we can do what you just said, but at this point, I think it just causes mayhem. I think ultimately, probably Heather should be the only one that is allowed to update the document anymore. And we should actually go to a point, the last point, maybe she did that or something like that. But then, you know, there can be one editor that's synthesizing what the sub team has to say about a recommendation. All the other contributors send text that get discussed amongst them, and then the result gets incorporated. That way it's all on email. It doesn't have to be real time.
Yeah. Eric, I would love that. The problem is with that, the document, if you open it right now, there are just so many comments, so many suggested edits, et cetera, et cetera. It is very difficult for me to pull out some text and propose text because I don't even really see what the text currently is, if you want. So that is my problem. I would love to do what you're saying. I'm just not sure if we don't have to clean up this document before we can actually do that in a meaningful way. So like I'm at page 90, if you want to have a look, right? Like there's a paragraph that struck out. I don't know why. There are comments everywhere, minor edits. It's really difficult to see what's going on here.
I would propose we start our iteration from the public comment version, and that anybody who feels that they made salient comments to a recommendation should join that sub team and propose them again. And that this is what I said since the beginning, because this is a degenerate case. I was one of the ones I was worried might happen. And so I would say we submitted something for public comment, people commented on it. That's what we should iterate from. If people have made changes since then, it's time to repropose them over the mailing list with an editor synthesizing them before they get handed to Heather.
So Eric, if we do the small sub-team thing, do you think there's 31 teams, one per recommendation?
Or maybe a sliding window. I mean, maybe that's the best way to sort of, instead of going through with the whole team on the call, you know, we sort of dull them out periodically. When we run out of gas, then we stop, and then that's the first set. I mean, it's like producers and consumers. What if we only have three producers? One producer, two producers, I don't know, whatever, then our windows are a lot smaller.
What I'm thinking is, doesn't this lead to the way to handle the public comments is because once Heather does the grouping, the sub-team for recommendation one is going to tackle that. The sub-team for recommendation two is going to tackle those and so on.
Yeah, I think I'm grokking what you're pointing out, and it's sort of, if to sort of say it a different way to see if I've actually got what you're saying. if there are not enough producers, then this results down with like one at a time, you know, doing it in order on the group weekly call, right?
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you're pointing out? I mean, one of the things we could do is say, if the sub teams don't have any objection, then their result gets adopted by the team, period. No discussion on the public call, on the plenary call. That's people's chance to plug in and participate. Yeah. I mean, and it's sort of, it sounds like it's unfair, except when you say you have everyone has the opportunity to join all the sub teams, we can keep them to a manageable set so it doesn't look like a DDoS.
Heather, could you put together a spreadsheet 1 through 31 for Wednesday? It's just two columns, recommendation number, sub-team members.
Okay. Do you want the actual text of the recommendation or just the numbers?
Oh, just the numbers.
Okay.
I'll up the text. I don't want someone to... You're so insightful. Thank you. A summary of the, you know, the shortest, the memory jogger is needed, I guess.
And Russ, I really like your comment. Yeah, we really have to constrain the number of things we're considering at a time. Otherwise, someone will say, I saved all my powder for recommendation 28. Therefore, I'm not going to look at number one. But that's not fair to me because I like number one. I just like 28 more. You're right. We should say of the set N through
M. If you want to do that, just be silent then.
Oh, I know. But right? I'm just thinking of the case where someone at the end pops up and says, I totally would have fixed that. I just didn't have time because, you know, the managerial model, it's their fault. You know, it's sort of, they want to like protect against the courtroom case.
Well, just so lets the person who's really worried about all of them put themselves on all the teams. I haven't met that person who has bandwidth to do all of them, but okay. I think we have a way forward. For Wednesday, I think we talk about how we're gonna handle public comments. We put up then this spreadsheet that Hesh is making, so we can sign up for the sub teams. And then we try and assign the remaining part of the comments that are in this document to those sub-teams. So it should be a short call that leads to scheduling a whole bunch of sub-team calls.
This is Heather. Do sub-teams need to be recorded and posted in the same way that the plenary calls do?
They don't.
Okay.
Or they weren't when we're doing the compliance sub-team.
I mean, can sub teams just try to use email, because then it's easier and it's also, I think we should probably not give people the option.
I don't think we should dictate how they do their work. Although a single person sub team, that's easy. If there's multiple, we're going to have to tag either. Thank you. We'll just bold a name in that spreadsheet or something. Well, this was useful. Completely changing the way we're working, but I think that's what's going to have to happen in this situation. The brainstorming, I think we got somewhere. Is there anything we need to talk about today? All right, please stay safe, and hopefully we'll get to meet face to face again.
Thanks, everyone.
Yes, thanks, Alan. Bye-bye.